Okay, thank you. I understand I'm the last speaker at the conference. There's no one following me, and I understand my time is limited to 15 minutes, but since there's no one following me, I've decided to extend it to 45 minutes. So get yourselves comfortable. This slide, by the way, was used by someone else in one of the presentations. I don't know if anybody remembers over here. So you went to the same Wikipedia maze page that I did. Great minds think alike, right? My talk is called Colonists from Mesoamerica Brought Maize Agriculture to the U.S. Southeast in Prehistoric Times. That may raise some eyebrows. Here's the gadget that you change.
Right there.
This one?
No.
This one?
Yeah, that's it.
This changes the slides?
The big bottom button will do it.
Oh, okay. I have a couple of co-authors, Siren Vickman and David Beck, both linguists, and the three of us are sitting on a platter of hominy. I want to sort of give you a guide as to where I'm going to go with this short presentation. In prehistoric times, speakers of Siti Masha migrated to the lower Mississippi Valley from Mesoamerica, bringing with them full maize agriculture. Speakers of Caddo, living along the Red River and its tributaries in Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, and Oklahoma, borrowed words from Siti Masha for things related to the cultivation and preparation of maize. And plausibly, they may have acquired from the Siti Masha as well an orientation towards intensified agriculture. Now, I want to give a warning here. I am basically in linguistic anthropology, and I'm going to be saying a few things about archaeology, which I don't know too much about. I've done a little bit of reading, so please do not try to nail me down to great details in the archaeological area. Here we are. Siti Masha, it's not pronounced Chiti Masha, but Siti Masha, is a language that was spoken and to a certain degree is still spoken along the bayous in southern Louisiana, just to the southwest of New Orleans. The last fluent speaker of the language died in 1940. Fortunately, there was a linguist by the name of Morris Swadesh who was working with the last speakers from around 1930 to 1940. He recorded the language and produced a dictionary and a grammar, and also about 200 wax cylinders of recordings of the language of the last two speakers. Fortunately, because we have this material, we can do comparative linguistic research with the language, and probably more important than that is that it's allowed for a robust language revitalization program that's underway in the Tribal Center of Chariton, Louisiana. I visited back there, visited them in November, and was glad to see that a lot of the kids are being taught this, what I call an extinct language, but they insist that it's not extinct, that it's a language that is going to be reborn again. Now, what is really significant for my talk is that it's been recently determined that Siti Masha is genealogically or genetically, however you want to express it, related to the Toto-Socayan languages of Mesoamerica. The Toto-Socayan family consists of two subfamilies, the Totonacan languages and the Mihe-Socayan languages. Some archaeologists and linguists have associated Mihe-Socayan with the Olmec culture of the Tuxtla area of Mexico. And Siti Masha is smoking up here in southern Louisiana. There are the relationship of Siti Masha to Toto Sokeyan is determined through using the standard comparative method of historical linguistics. And we found a number of of words that are shared by Proto-Toto Sokeyan and Siti Masha. These are cognate words. And actually, we found 91 cognate sets that are pretty firm linguistically. And that among these sets, there are a number of words relating to corn agriculture, maize agriculture, that they share in common, including a word for maize, including a word for to shell corn, also including a word for Indian hominy, which is nishtalmal in Mesoamerica, possibly a word for cornfield, words for to grind, and a word for lime. Lime relates to the corn complex because nishtamal, or hominy, at least in Mesoamerica, is produced by soaking maize kernels in a lime infusion. I'm going backwards. Now, what about why are the Siti Masha in the lower Mississippi Valley? Why did they move? How is it they moved to Mesoamerica, or did they move from Mesoamerica, or was it the other way around? Were the speakers of the common parrot language actually located in the lower Mississippi Valley, and then the Toto Sokeans moved to Mesoamerica? Why would I say that it was the other way around? The reason for this is that Siti Masha shares with the Toto Sokean languages a number of words that designate Mesoamerican traits. And I won't go into what those specifically were. You'll have to take my word for it. But this suggests that Siti Masha, speakers of Siti Masha, moved from Mesoamerica to the U.S. Southeast rather than the other way around. Now, how was this migration achieved? We have no idea. But our best guess is that it was probably by watercraft, either along the Gulf Coast or directly across the Gulf. When this migration occurred, we have no idea. It's yet to be determined. What I have to say today suggests some possibilities, and I'll mention that at the end of the talk. I think I went backwards again. Now, there are four words in Siti Masha that it shares with Toto Sokeyan relating to the maize complex that were borrowed, obviously to me at least, from Siti Masha into another language of the area, the Caddo language. And these words are the Siti Masha word for maize, the word to shell corn, the word for Indian hominy, and the word for to grind. Oops. Let me say something about Caddo. This is a language that was once spoken along the Red River and its tributaries in Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. It is related to the Pawnee and Wichita languages, and these three languages and a couple of other languages as well all fit into the Caddoan language family. Today, Caddo is a critically endangered language and is spoken only in Oklahoma. We believe that linguists and archaeologists agree that Caddo was probably the language of the archaeologically attested Caddoan culture. Here is a map that really roughly locates Siti Masha and Caddo. Actually, Caddo. Oops. All right. Kato was actually spoken in a much wider range along the Red River. This is the Red River here. And you can see that the Red River connects with the Sitimacha down here, which may have something to do with the contact of these groups. Let me say something about the Kadoan archaeological culture. It's dated from AD 800 to AD 1680. Kadoan sites are located along the Red River and in its tributaries in the same area where Kado is known to have been spoken. There is evidence for low-level maize production beginning around AD 850 in Kadoan sites. And then sometime later, we get archaeological evidence for fully intensified maize cultivation and its extensive consumption, and also evidence of the cultivation of beans beginning around AD 1350. Here are the location of some of the major sites of the Kadoan culture. Here are the agricultural words that have been borrowed, that we believe have been borrowed by Kado from Sitimacha, a word from maize, shell corn, parched corn / hominy, husk, hoe, pestle, and mortar. And there's also a possibility that the Kado term for bean, or at least one of the Kado terms for bean, was borrowed from Sitimacha. Actually, the word for bean in Proto-Tozo-Zoquean is tapu, and that word may have been cognate with a word in Sitimacha. There is no Sitimacha word for bean found in Swadesh's dictionary, and we believe this is a clear omission. Swanton reports 7 different types of bean known to the Sitimacha. Plausibly, a word for one or all of the latter could have been cognate with the Proto-Tozo-Zoquean word and then lent to Kado. There are 3 hypotheses based on loanword evidence concerning the influence of Sitimacha on Kadoan agricultural development. The first is that the Sitimacha had no influence on Kadoan agricultural development other than linguistically. It simply lent the words for these agricultural maize things to Kado, but not the reference of the words. The second hypothesis is that the Sitimacha introduced maize to the Kado, thus influencing Kadoan maize agriculture that began with low-level maize cultivation around AD 850. And the third is the Kado had low-level maize cultivation before contact with the Sitimacha, but interaction with the Sitimacha influenced Kadoan development of intensive maize farming and its extensive consumption, something that was realized around AD 1350. Evaluation of the hypotheses. The first hypothesis was that there was no influence other than linguistic. It's probably the weakest of the hypotheses because typically when words are borrowed, the reference designated by them are borrowed as well, but not always. Hypothesis 2 is that the Sitimacha introduced maize to the Kado, thus influencing the beginning of low-level maize cultivation around 850. This hypothesis is not as likely as the next one we're going to look at because of the nature of the agricultural terms borrowed. Also, plausibly, the Kado acquired maize from some native groups or other group or groups of the U.S. Southeast well before contact with the Sitimacha. And the final of the 3 hypotheses is the one that we favor. This is that contact with Sitimacha influenced the development of intensive maize agriculture and consumption of maize we have archaeological records for beginning around 1350. And I believe that this hypothesis, and my co-authors believe that this hypothesis is most likely because words borrowed by Kado from Sitimacha all relate to a complex of agricultural items associated with maize, intensive maize farming, plus possibly bean. Here are the words borrowed by Kato from Siti Masha. If they were just borrowing corn, that would be one thing. That wouldn't necessarily indicate intensive maize agriculture. But the fact that they borrowed a host of different... what happened here? A host of different... different terms for the maize complex suggests there might have been some influences there. This is all very speculative. It's based on just a few words, but it's more than... I would say it was the best evidence we have of any kind of Mesoamerican influence in the U.S. Southeast as far as ethnobiology is concerned. Thank you.